You're listening to 2024 in Review, a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories of the year from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All right, we're back on the record on case CR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We just concluded the lunch recess. At this time, the state completed its closing argument. It's now time for the defense to make its closing argument. Mr. Pryor, is the defense ready? Yes, you may. Okay, we'll enact that. You can use the wireless microphone as well.
Folks, hear me? Okay, thank you. I promise you, got about 15 slides. Not going to be long. I want to touch on a few points, and then I want to spend a little bit of time talking to you folks a little bit about the case, okay? I promise you this isn't going to take 2 hours. It'll be briefer, but there are some points that I need to touch on, and then I would respectfully ask for your attention in regards to that. I want to start out with the first slide, and the reason I did this is because in order for there to be a conviction, it's a chain of links that the prosecutor attorney has to go through. Chad Daybell, the first link is that he's presumed innocent. He's presumed innocent now. He was presumed innocent during the trial. He's presumed innocent throughout the trial. When it goes back to the jury and you consider the evidence, that's when you make the decision. And that's how that works. Throughout the trial, from the very beginning to the middle to the end to today, the entire burden has been on the state, okay? And the definition of what has to be proven by the state is beyond a reasonable doubt. The state must prove every element beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, you've heard some information previously from the other attorney about what the state has to prove. One of the things the state has to prove in regards to the conspiracy charges is that there was an agreement, okay? And if you recall, when we were going through the voir dire process, that fancy French word that talks about when we were trying to select the jury, I talked to you and asked a number of you what an agreement is. What do you believe an agreement is? Okay? But the state has to prove that Chad Daybell, with Lori Vallow, or with Alex Cox, or with other co-conspirators that they haven't named, with one of them entered into some sort of an agreement to kill the children and to kill Tammy Daybell. And then you have to show that Chad's involvement in that. That's the next thing the state has to show. Then they have to show that there was evidence of the murder. Jury instruction number 3 talks about, again, what I just talked about. The defendant, Chad Guy Daybell, has been charged in the amended indictment with certain counts of conspiracy with Lori Vallow and or Alex Cox, who's deceased, and or other conspirators, both known and unknown. And then it goes on, and I'll talk and list a little bit out. The crime of conspiracy involves an agreement by two or more persons to commit a crime. Okay? It can't be an agreement that we have consistent religious beliefs. It can't be an agreement that we talk about religion without, unless there's an extra step. And that extra step has to be, we are going to kill these children. We are going to agree to kill Tammy Daybell. You can hear all the testimony in the world about dark spirits. You can hear all the testimony in the world about light and dark. You can hear all the testimony in the world about death percentages. And if you remember when we talked about death percentages with Officer Kay, who I think is here today, one of the text messages or the messages that he put up that he pulled off when he did his Google search is about Tammy and Chad talking about death percentages, talking about light and dark. You heard from Emma Murray how Emma Murray talks to her father. Now, they used a different term, but in Chad's traditional religion, his traditional LDS faith, it was not uncommon to talk about light and dark. It was not uncommon because we showed you the message between Tammy and Mark and Chad where they talked about death percentages. Okay? Now, the state brings up, yes, oh, Chad put a death percentage on Tylee and JJ and Tammy, and they're all dead. But you also heard testimony from one of the state's experts that said, we don't know if it was a high number or a low number, and there's confusion as to what that means. And I'd like to go back to the discussion that we had with one of the FBI agents who mentioned that there were thousands and thousands of messages, an enormous amount of evidence here. You heard from my expert, Patrick Eller. He talked about, I think, the Library of Congress holds 1 terabyte of evidence if we went paper to paper through the whole building. And we had 6 terabytes. 6 pounds of paper that would fit in 6 libraries of Congress. And what has happened is you've been shown a handful of text messages that talk about a plan, that talk about death percentages, that talk about light and dark, talk about a variety of subjects. But what you didn't hear is you didn't hear about the thousands and thousands of messages that talked about religious beliefs, talked about a variety of other topics. And if we look at each and every one of ours position, you can always find a text message or a message of some kind that may be slanted or turned in a way to benefit one position or another. And that's not particularly uncommon. How often is it you send out a text message to somebody and it's misconstrued? How often is it that you send an electronic message to somebody through an email and it's misunderstood? Or maybe it's looked at in a different way. You know, as a society, we've lost our ability to communicate. Doing what I'm doing today is a lost art. Lawyers have to do this, especially in our position. But many of people who are in jobs, what it's done is send me a quick email, send me a text message, tell me what you feel. And sometimes those messages can be construed. The prosecuting attorney talked about, oh, there was a plan. And insinuating to you, suggesting to you that this plan was to kill the children. And at no time did the prosecuting attorney show you a text message that said, let's kill the kids, let's kill Tammy, okay? Instead, they talked about a plan. This is what we're looking to do in the future, okay? That's what they said to you. And they're trying to insinuate or suggest to you that in some way that means, well, that means that we're going to kill the kids. No, the plan was, and whether you believe with Chad's religious beliefs or not, whether you accept his religious beliefs, the 144,000, that's his beliefs. He was a gatherer. He was a gatherer of the 144,000, and he said, I want to gather people, the sick, the elderly, the children, the impoverished, those that can't handle for themselves and those that may be able to go on and become a part and parcel as this gatherer that he suggests would put together the 144,000 in Rexburg. Now, whether you think that's crazy or not, it doesn't matter. Whether you agree with light and dark, it doesn't matter. Whether you agree with death percentages, it doesn't matter. He's entitled to his beliefs. Every one of us has beliefs. Every one of us believes has a certain core set of beliefs that we believe in. And think about, are they all rational? Maybe not. Maybe not. Everybody has pursuits that they want to pursue and things they want to do in their future. You know, I wanted to be a professional fisherman, not really good at fishing. Wasn't going to work out. Wasn't going to make a lot of money. But it can still be a dream. I always wanted a 30-inch waist. That's not happening, folks. It's just not going to happen. I'm too old and maybe not as motivated as I should be. But we all have dreams. Now, how do we know these are dreams that Chad talks about? Because for 15 years, he was writing books. He was writing books about things that he was passionate about. And if you know anything about authors, when they're passionate about something, anybody comes up to them and brings up a subject and says, let's talk about religion. You've opened the floodgates. And it's very easy for you to go out there and say, I want to talk about my religion. I want to tell you all about all of these things. And at some point, when you start writing books and you go to these preparing the people conferences, and you meet all of these people, and you feel like, well, maybe I've become a little bit of a celebrity. Okay? In this case, I don't want to become a celebrity. I've had enough now at this point. But, you know, Chad writes books and he goes to these conferences and he talks about all of these religious beliefs. He talks about his premonitions. He talks about things that he thinks he can predict. Do you believe him? You don't have to. You don't have to believe anything he stands for. Nobody does. But he has a right to talk about it. And he has a right to say what he wants to say. And that's one of the distinctions, folks. Requires involves an agreement. It requires an agreement. You don't get to the overt acts. You don't get to all of the things the prosecutor has said about all of the things these people have done until you establish that Chad Daybell, by evidence and testimony in the last 2 months, has shown that there's been an agreement between him and Lori, him and Alex, or anyone else. There's no agreement. Show me the text message that says there's an agreement. Show me the text message that says this is what we're going to do. You were shown some things to talk about plans. Yeah, the plans of the 144,000, the plans of putting together this village of people to help all of these people out and do all of this. Traditional Mormon faith beliefs. Traditional Mormon faith beliefs. Those traditional Mormon faith beliefs that also included things like celestial marriages, being able to marry someone in the celestial realm and do that. Going to a temple and saying, up there, I'm allowed to get married in the celestial because that's what we were taught. That's traditional. I'm allowed to do all of these things. Now, whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't matter. But if you have a core set of beliefs and those are things you believe in, that's not a crime. The crime only comes into play. The crime of conspiracy involves an agreement to commit a crime. You should only consider the evidence against the defendant, Chad Guy Daybell, in this case, and should not speculate as to any other case or legal proceedings involving alleged co-conspirators. When I first started with you folks with the voir dire process, again, that fancy French word that I always mispronounce, I talked to you a little bit about speculation. I talked to you about hunch. I talked to you about conjecture. I talked to you about guess. They all mean the same thing. The judge's instruction and what this judge has told us we have to do. And I put it up there for a reason. You must only consider the evidence against the defendant, Chad Daybell, in this case. It says it in the third instruction that you're going to read. Only in this case, the evidence that you have heard, they have not established an agreement. They have not given you any proof that there's any kind of an agreement. Read the overt acts. They espoused religious beliefs. That's what it says in the conspiracy charges. We espoused religious beliefs. Chad espoused his religious beliefs. Unless there's agreement, it doesn't matter whether he espoused his religious beliefs or not, because everybody's allowed to espouse their religious beliefs. I can tell you all about my religious beliefs. I can tell anybody, you could all talk all day long about our religious beliefs. But unless there's an agreement to commit a crime, you can talk all day long about your religious beliefs. You could say anything you want. I can say there's a little green man in my backyard and I get to dance around with him and talk about religion all day long. And whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But I'm entitled to my opinion to say that. And unless I can get into an agreement to commit a conspiracy, all the overt acts in the world don't matter. So there are two overt acts in the conspiracy that they talked about with JJ and Tylee. They killed these kids because of Chad's religious beliefs. That's what they're saying. His religious beliefs and all of this talk about dark and light was the reason Chad, Lori, and Alex killed these kids.
Okay.
And then, oh, by the way, the other overt act. Chad Googled south-southwest wind. And yet, we heard from Emma Murray. She said, I Googled south-southwest wind. I had an event like Joe Murray's 5K race to see what the weather was going to be like, or another event that Joe was involved in. And she Googled it a short time before that event. You have to have an agreement. Again, do not speculate as to any other case or legal proceedings involving the alleged co-conspirator. What that's telling you is this. Judge's instruction. You heard testimony about Charles Vallow. We've heard about that. We've heard a lot about it. Counsel brought it up again today. brought it up again today, and I believe if I remember right, I don't see him. Officer Duncan's here today. And Officer Duncan got on the stand, and when I pressed him, and remember, folks, I brought the paper out, brought the sheet of paper out, and I said, Officer Duncan, read this to the jury. Read what this prosecuting attorney in Arizona stated about the status of the case. And what did he say? Chad Daybell, with this in regards to Charles Vallow, no reasonable likelihood of conviction. What that means, they don't have any evidence. They don't have any reason. So, you know, you don't get to say, well, you know, he's guilty because he must have been involved with Charles Vallow. Except the prosecutor said no reasonable likelihood of conviction. Lori Vallow's involved with Charles Vallow. Alex Cox, if he was not deceased, involved with Charles Vallow. Then we go to Brandon Boudreau. We go to Brandon Boudreau. Chad Daybell, not implicated in regards to Brandon Boudreau. You know what Chad did? You know why he's not implicated? He carried a tire from a storage unit, from a Jeep. And the prosecutor down there recognized, you don't have an agreement there because you carried a tire. You don't have an agreement because Chad Daybell has religious beliefs that we don't believe in. What they have is they have Alex Cox shooting at Brandon Boudreau and Lori Vallow down there involved. And that's what you have down there. Do not speculate as to any other case or legal proceeding involving the alleged co-conspirator. It's in black and white. Facts, evidence. Again, that fancy French word, voir dire. I talked to you about, you folks, about that. I talked about facts and evidence. Fact, Chad Daybell was not involved with Charles Vallow. Fact, Chad Daybell is not implicated with Brandon Boudreau. Fact, Chad Daybell espoused religious beliefs. And if you want to believe the prosecutor, well, maybe Chad Daybell did a South-Southwest search. Where's the agreement? Where is the agreement? It's not there. You must remember, the defendant, Chad Guy Daybell, has the presumption of innocence, and you must consider his innocence based solely on the evidence provided in this case. It's the judge's instruction. It's not their instruction. It's not the four of them over there. It's the guy that matters here, who sets the instruction and tells us the rules we have to follow. And the rule is, you must remember the defendant, Chad Guy Daybell, has the presumption of innocence, and you must decide, consider his innocence based solely on the evidence, the facts and evidence that you have been presented. That's what you have to consider. We don't speculate. We do not guess. We do not engage in conjecture. We don't do any of those things. Facts and evidence. Facts and evidence. Reasonable doubt. Under our law and system, this is jury instruction number 5. Again, this isn't me speculating or saying anything, you know, maybe making guesses, maybe giving you facts that maybe aren't consistent with what you remember in your notes. You all took notes. You all have a memory. I know it's been a couple of months, but you all took notes and you all have a memory. And the judge's other instruction would be, rely on your memory. Rely on your notes about what you remembered, not what the lawyers say. That includes me. If I say something that's different than what you remember in your notes, you rely on your notes. They said something different than what you remember, you rely on your notes. You rely on your memory. That's the way this works. That's why we all have memories. That's why we all take notes. That's why we all document what has been said for the last 2 months. I watched all of you take very careful notes. I watched all of you document what was being said. Rely on your notes, rely on your memories. Under our law and system of justice, the defendant is presumed to be innocent. The presumption of innocence means two things. The state has the burden proving the defendant guilty. The state has the burden throughout the trial. The defendant is never required to prove his innocence, nor does the defendant ever have to produce any evidence at all. Chad doesn't have to do anything. He could sit back there and just let the state do their thing. And if he did that and they never proved that there was an agreement, you can't say they put on more evidence than the defense did. That's not the way this works. They have the burden to prove that there was an agreement. They have a burden of proving that Chad in some way was involved in the murder. Now, the insurance cases go back to, well, if Chad was planning a murder, that way he lied and he took advantage of the insurance. And that's how that works. Because if you folks find that he wasn't involved in the conspiracy or the murder of anybody, there's no insurance fraud case. Doesn't have to provide any evidence at all. Now, you know four experts, Dr. Bartling, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, Dr. Hampinkian, Dr. Raven, Patrick Eller. He didn't have to do that. Chad didn't, it's not his job to prove innocence. It's their job and it's their burden to prove guilt. They have the obligation to prove guilt. Second, the state must prove the alleged crime beyond a reasonable doubt. A reasonable doubt is not mere possible or imaginary doubt. It is based on reason and common sense. So when you think about reasonable doubt, what you're doing is you're saying, okay, do I have a reason to believe or doubt whether Mr. Daybell is guilty, whether Chad did this? Do I have and using my common sense and reason, is it possible Chad's not guilty of this? That's reasonable doubt. If you're saying to yourself, I don't know what happened, I don't know the truth, I have no idea really, maybe we will never know what happened here. If that's going through your head, folks, and you don't know which way this is supposed to go, or you have some doubt in your mind whether the state proved their case, the verdict is not guilty. And under our system of justice, it has to be not guilty. Because you can't just bring a bunch of people in from a school who suddenly espoused that Tammy was perfectly fine, and one after another, and bringing the principal in, and bringing anybody who ever even spoke to Tammy once or once a week or anybody else and saying, oh, she was healthy. And yet they didn't show there was a significant discussion about her health. And we're not supposed to believe her family. We're not supposed to believe her son and her daughter who knew her better than anybody else. And then I guess what the state would like to do is, well, believe all of these 9, 10, 12, 15 teachers and principals and everybody else who was dragged in and said, oh, yeah, healthy as a horse. Okay. Common sense. Common sense. That's what you need to do. It may arise from careful and impartial consideration of all the evidence or from the lack of evidence. If after considering all the evidence, you have a reasonable doubt about the defendant's guilt, you must find the defendant not guilty. If you have a doubt and you don't know what happened, you must find Chad not guilty. That's not from me. It's not from them. It's from the one that matters. The one who sets the rules and tells you what the instruction is, and read it for yourself. You're going to get a copy of the instruction. It's jury instruction number 5. You must, if you have doubt, Chad doesn't have to prove anything, but if you have doubt about what happened here, the verdict has to be not guilty. That's what the law says. This is jury instruction number 8. And I want to, when you pull up jury instruction number 8 with you folks in the booklets that you get, you'll see that I only took a couple of sentences out of that. In all fairness, jury instruction number 8 is much longer than this. And there's a lot more information in there. But what I did is I pulled out what the theme and what I wanted to talk to you about. And on jury instruction number 8, as part of it, it says, in determining the facts, you may consider only the evidence admitted in this trial. You consider the evidence that has been presented to you. There has not been any evidence saying, we're going to kill the kids. We're going to kill Tammy. There is talk about a plan. Yeah, the $144,000 building a village for the children, the infirm, the sick, the other people that Chad is able to gather. There's the plan. And if you go through the evidence, you'll see there's reference to the plan. It wasn't a plan to kill, folks. It was a plan to gather. A plan to gather by a gentleman who's a traditional Mormon. And yes, you don't have to like his beliefs. You don't have to agree with his beliefs, but he sure has the right to believe whatever he wants to believe. Second line, and again, you'll see the dot, dot, dots. It's because the jury instruction number 8, I want to say it again so that we're very clear. I didn't publish the entire jury instruction number 8. I took these two paragraphs out. And when you read the rest of it, you'll see it basically covers the same subject. There's other topics in there that talk about it. But under the second sentence, do not attempt to guess what my answer might have been or what the exhibit might have shown. That goes back to what I talked to in the very beginning of the trial. You can't speculate. You can't guess. You can't engage in conjecture. You can't say, this is what he must have meant, or this is what she must have meant, or this is what they meant by this. No. You look at the evidence, and unless it tells you something, you take the evidence as you take the evidence. Again, the judge's instructions. This talks about jury instruction number 18, and the state talked about this a little bit, and I'm going to go through the whole thing, and I'll be quick, okay? The law makes no distinction between a person who directly participates in the acts constituting a crime and a person who either before or during the commission intentionally aids, assists, facilitates, promotes, encourages, counsels, solicits, invites, helps, or hires another to commit a crime with the intent to promote or assist in its commission. That was a lot. I can talk, but that was a lot. In other words, what that's saying is that if there was a murder and someone did something to help along, aided in that. That's a problem. And it is, okay? But then we go down to the last sentence, and this is what's important, and this is what you need to look at. And in all fairness, I wanted to put the entire jury instruction so you could put it into perspective. Mere presence at, acquiescence in, or silent consent to the planning or commissioning of a crime is not sufficient to make one an accomplice. Okay? What that's saying is this. Chad Daybell can talk about religion all day long. Chad Daybell can espouse his beliefs, and he could talk about zombies with Zaluma, or Melanie Gibb can teach about zombies, and Chad can talk about dark spirits. Chad can talk about light and dark. Chad could talk about all sorts of religious beliefs, okay? But when the time comes, if something happened to those children, even if Chad had knowledge, acquiesced or silently said, well, I may know about this. I may know what have happened. What that instruction in number 18 is saying, mere presence at, acquiescence in, or silent consent to the planning or commission of a crime is not sufficient to make one an accomplice. Accomplice means no conspiracy unless he took some sort of a step to make an agreement. There has to be an agreement. We're going back to that again. There has to be an agreement. There is no agreement. Chad Daybell, testimony. He met Tylee a couple times. Met JJ a couple of times. There was not a lot of contact. There was not a lot of encounter from when they first met to the time they moved to Rexburg. And you heard the testimony. I want you to go back and listen to the testimony, okay? I want you to look back at Jason Williams and really listen to one of the exhibits that's been admitted, and state provided that a little bit, provided a portion of it anyway. Lori Vallow is talking about a family attorney. Now, for those of us who know what a family attorney is, they deal with divorce, they deal with custody fights, they deal with all of those topics.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.